Chapter 76. First citizen from below, you see him? Second citizen gazing, he is already at the garden end. Now he has passed out to the river brim and plods along it toward the Randstad gate. He finds no horses for him. And the crowd thrusts him about, none recognizing him. Ah, now the horses do arrive. He mounts and hurries through the arch. Again I see him. Now he's upon the causeway in the marsh, now rides across the bridge of Lindene. And now, among the troops that choke the road, I lose all sight of him.
A third citizen enters from the direction Napoleon has taken.
Third citizen, breathlessly, I have seen him go. And while he passed the gate, I stood eye the crowd so close I could have touched him. Few discerned in one so soiled the earstarch emperor. In the lax mood of him who has lost all, he stood inert there, idly singing thin. Malbro sen vati en guerre. Until his suite came up with horses. Second citizen,
still gazing afar,
Poniatowski's poles wearily walk the level causeway now. Also, Messimes, MacDonald's corps and Rainier's. The frail-framed, new-built bridge has broken down. They've but the old to cross by. First citizen, feeble foresight. They should have had a dozen. Second citizen, all the corps MacDonald's, Poniatowski's, Rainier's all confusedly block the entrance to the bridge. And verily Blücher's troops are through the town, and are debouching from the Randstad gate upon the Frenchman's rear.
A thunderous report stops his words, echoing through the city from the direction in which he is gazing, and rattling all the windows. A hoarse chorus of cries becomes audible immediately after.
First, third, etc. Citizens, atch, heaven! What's that? Second citizen, the bridge of Lindene has been upblown. Semi-chorus I of the pities,
aerial music,
there leaps to the sky and earthen wave, and stones, and men, as though some rebel churchyard crew updrave their sepulchres from below. Semi-chorus too, to heaven, is blown bridge Lindene, wrecked regiments reel therefrom, and rank and file in masses plow the sullen Elsterstrom. Semi-chorus I, a gulf is Lindene, and dead are fifties, hundreds, tens, and every current ripples red with marshals' blood and men's. Semi-chorus too, the smart MacDonald swims there, and barely wins the verge. Bold Ponia the sky plunges in never to re-emerge. First citizen, are not the French across as yet, God save them? Second citizen,
still gazing above,
nor Rainier's corps, MacDonald's, Lauriston's, nor yet the Poles. And Blücher's troops approach, and all the French this side are prisoners. Now for our handling by the Prussian host, scant courtesy for our king.
Other citizens appear beside him at the window, and further conversation continues entirely above.
Chorus of ironic spirits, the battle of the nations now is closing, and all is lost to one, too many gained. The old dynastic routine reimposing, the new dynastic structure unsustained. Now every neighboring realm is France's warder, and smirking satisfaction will be feigned. The which is seemlier, so-called ancient order, or that the hot-breathed war horse rampant reigned.
The October night thickens and curtains the scene.
Seen by the Pyrenees. Near the river Nivelle,
evening. The dining room of Wellington's quarters. The table is laid for dinner. The Battle of the Nivelle has just been fought. Enter Wellington, Hill, Beresford, Stuart, Hope, Clinton, Colburn, Cole, Kempt with a bound up wound, and other officers.
Wellington, it is strange that they did not hold their grand position more tenaciously against us today. By God, I don't quite see why we should have beaten them. Colburn, my impression is that they had the stiffness taken out of them by something they had just heard of. Anyhow, startling news of some kind was received by those of the 88th we took in the signal redoubt after I summoned the commandant. Wellington, oh, what news? Colburn, I cannot say, my lord, I only know that the latest number of the Imperial Gazette was seen in the hands of some of them before the capture. They had been reading the contents, and were cast down. Wellington, that's interesting. I wonder what the news could have been? Hill, something about Boney's army in Saxony would be most probable. Though I question, if there's time, yet for much to have been decided there. Beresford, well, I wouldn't say that. A hell of a lot of things may have happened there by this time. Colburn, it was tantalizing, but they were just able to destroy the paper before we could prevent them. Wellington, did you question them? Colburn, oh yes. But they stayed sulking at being taken, and would tell us nothing, pretending that they knew nothing. Whether much were going on, they said, or little, between the army of the Emperor and the army of the Allies, it was none of their business to relate it. So they kept a gloomy silence for the most part. Wellington, they will cheer up a bit, and be more communicative, when they have had some dinner. Cole, they are dining here, my lord. Wellington, I sent them an invitation an hour ago, which they have accepted. I could do no less, poor devils. They'll be here in a few minutes. See that they have plenty of Madeira, to wet their whistles with. It will screw them up into a better key, and they'll not be so reserved.
The conversation on the day's battle becomes general. Enter as guests French officers of the 88th Regiment, now prisoners on parole. They are welcomed by Wellington and the staff, and all sit down to dinner. For some time the meal proceeds almost in silence, but wine is passed freely, and both French and English officers become talkative and merry. Wellington, to the French commandant,
more cozy this, sir, than I warrant me, you found it in that damned redoubt today? Commandant, the devil if 'tis not, Monseigneur, sure. Wellington, so 'tis for us who were outside, by God. Commandant, gloomily, no, we were not at ease. Alas, my lord, 'twas more than flesh and blood could do, to fight after such paralyzing tidings came. More life may trickle out of men through thought than through a gaping wound. Wellington, your reference bears on the news from Saxony, I infer? Second French officer, yes. On the Emperor's ruinous defeat at Leipzig City brought to our startled heed by one of the gazettes just now arrived.
All the English officers stopped speaking, and listen eagerly.
Wellington, where are the Emperor's headquarters now? Commandant, my lord, there are no headquarters. Wellington, no headquarters? Commandant, there are no French headquarters now, my lord. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.